Romans and chapter 6. Let me begin, if you're in chapter 6, let me read a little portion out of chapter 5 and verse number 17. Chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The first Adam got us into a mess. But the second Adam got us out of that mess. The first Adam was in the garden, dealt with a tree, and he said to God, not thy will, but mine. Thank God the second Adam came into his garden, and he dealt with a tree, and he reversed the little matter and said, not my will, but thine. I heard a man of God say the other month that we gained much more in Christ than we ever lost in Adam. Said we gained much more in Christ than we ever lost in Adam. He said under Adam we ruled over animals, but under Christ we'll rule over angels. The devil always has thought he is trying to get one over on God, but if you'll stop and look, God's always three steps ahead of him, laughing up his sleeve. Now, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, my text verse will be chapter 6 and verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Our Heavenly Father, for just a moment now, you have flushed our hearts out in the last 45 minutes with your sweet touch. The blessed access we have to our altar. We have an altar. Lord, you've relieved burdens and you have given consolation and comfort and heavenly help in this meeting and in this service already. Thank you for Brother Partain, our dear gifted brother. Submitted to the will of God. Lord, appreciate how you flow through him. Thank you for Pastor Bowman, for the love that he has and how that's reflected in this body. Thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the Holy Ghost from heaven given unto us to help us to bring that bride through the journey. Well, God, to bring that bride into that divine throne room one good day. Now, Father, help me for just a couple of moments, Lord, to say whatever needs to be said. I'm grateful for the foolishness of preaching. Lord, you got the most foolish thing. You reached down and said, I'm going to take the most foolish thing and get my glory out of it. Lord, you've called us vessels that have been hauled out of a horrible pit. Cleaned up. Set on display the grace of God. So help me for a little while. I'm aware that with my stuttering tongue and stammering lips, if there's 250 of us here tonight, the good Holy Ghost is able to preach 250 messages. I just ask you to do that. Deliver me from all my foolishness and help me one more time as we stand in this sacred hour with this sacred book, in this sacred desk, to this sacred body. Realizing that you're looking on. Your nose is pressed down in the roof and in the ceiling of this little building tonight. Show us that and help us in Christ's name. And all the Lord's people say it. Verse 14 of chapter 6. Of course, I like chapter 5 and verse 17. We have received an abundance of grace. I like chapter 5 and verse 20. That where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But I particularly want to settle on this thought out of chapter 6 and verse 14 for just a little while tonight. Where it says that sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. I'm glad I'm under the grace of God tonight. It's good to be under grace tonight. As the text says, I'm glad I'm no longer under the dominion of sin. Yes, there are some giants that rode the church with me, but they ain't got the victory over me. They're there temporarily. They're there providentially. And I'll soon have what's theirs. I'm glad that I'm not under several things. I'm glad I'm not under the dominion of sin. Though Romans chapter 7 teaches us clearly, there is a law of sin still dwelling in the old flesh. Thank God for Romans chapter 8. There's a greater law. There's a law of sin dwelling in my members, but there is a law of the Spirit that's moved in my heart. I don't have time to dwell on that thought because it ain't my particular thought tonight. But honey, just write this down in your little book and shout from here to heaven. There's a greater law dwelling in me. Greater is He that is in me than that what is in me. The law of sin's still there, but the law of the Spirit's greater. The law of sin's kind of like the law of gravity that pulls that plane down toward the ground. The law of gravity's still in play, but thank God they have discovered the law of thermodynamics. And that's a greater thrust than a downward pull. And there is a law of gravity that will pull that plane down. But there's a greater law that pulls that plane up. And the law of sin would pull me down, but the law of the Spirit has been promised to pull me up. I'm glad I'm not under the dominion of sin. I'm glad I'm not under the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. I'm glad I'm not under the wrath of God. Glad I'm not under the wrath of God tonight. It's not my thought, so I'll not dwell on it. But let me say, hell is an awful place. Hell is a scary place. But I'll tell you one thing worse than the thought of hell, and that is, worse than being in hell is being the thought of being under the wrath of God. I'm glad I'm not under the wrath of God tonight. I'm glad I'm not under the bondage of Satan tonight. I'm glad I'm no longer under the heavy whips of an evil, cruel taskmaster. I'm glad I'm not under the guilt of sin. Amen. Glad I'm not under the guilt of sin. I'm glad I'm not under the fear of death tonight. Glad I'm not under the fear of death. I'm glad I'm not under the limitations of flesh tonight. Glad I'm not under the limitations of flesh. I'm glad I'm under grace. I have a few little thoughts, and I'll just preach them as such. An old mountain preacher back home said, a good sermon's like a good stick of bologna. You ought to be able to hack it off anywhere, and it's been just as good. Amen. I'll hack it off as soon as you've had your fill. I'm glad I'm under the grace of God. There are several things I'm under since I got under the grace of God. There are several things I'm under because I'm under the grace of God. These are simple, but they're so true. Number one tonight, can I tell you that under grace... I'm under grace tonight because I'm under the blood of the Lamb of God. I'm glad I'm under the blood tonight. Glad I'm under the blood. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Glad I'm under the blood. I've got a friend up north and broke my heart here the other year. We became close, but he didn't have any heritage. He didn't have any rooting, didn't have any grounding. And a church building bunch from California kind of sucked him in and told him how to build a church. He was sitting down, and of course, I've got good news for you. If anybody here is worried about building a church, you ain't got to. It's done been built. Amen. The head's in heaven, the body's down here. If we can just get together, that blood will flow. And that breath will blow, and the body's all right. It's founded on a rock. The gates of hell not prevail. And the Lord will add to the church daily such as should be saved. It saved me from an ulcer and a nervous breakdown the years I pastored. I found that little verse, Psalm 127, where it said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. I sat down and realized he was doing something a whole lot bigger than me. I'm just glad he let me in on it. They tell him how to build a church, how to draw a crowd in these days. Honey, if he can't draw them, I sure don't want to draw nothing. Amen. I'm not afraid of aggressive evangelism. I believe, brother, the Great Commission is for the church in this hour. I'll guarantee you, as we go out, it's only going to work because while we're going out, He's bringing them in. The drawing power of God. Noah sat back and watched them animals just file from around the planet. Amen. Then the drawing power of God drew them in the ark. I'm glad for the good, powerful, merciful drawing power of God. He said, they told me how to draw a crowd. And I listened to him run off the line of baloney. But I didn't fuss with him because I don't want to fuss about too much except things that matter. I didn't fuss with him. A lot of things I wouldn't do, but I wouldn't fuss with him till he said this. And it broke my heart. I didn't get angry with him. I was really upset for him. He said, we're going to bring in these new praise and worship songs. I even bit my tongue on that. I was being so good. I was wanting a nap, didn't want to fuss. But when he said this, it was too much. He said they told me down at that clinic to take all the bloody songs and do away with them. That's what he said. What he said worse even got me worse. It knocked the wind out of me. I almost lost my breath. He said, Dean, man, he said, all them songs with the blood are really gross if you think about it. He said, you expect the world to walk in and hear about a fountain filled with blood? He said, can you imagine, Dean, a fountain filled with blood? He said, we start singing about being washed in the blood. He said, you imagine the picture that gives to the world. He said, they don't want to hear about the blood. And he said this. He said, the blood is gross to the world. Can you believe somebody would say something like that? Well, I can because our preachers in this hour ain't coming out of old-fashioned Bible-believing Holy Ghost churches. They're coming out of a bunch of seminaries with a bunch of outfits that wouldn't know God if He showed up with a handshake. I believe in the church myself. I believe our singers ought to come out of the church. I believe our preachers ought to come out of the church. I believe our doctrine ought to come out of the Bible. And the Bible ought to be in the church. And it ought to come out of the church. Because the church is His body. We are an assembly. And it's all that we do. It's what we are, and it's what we do. We are an assembly, and we assemble. This is us, and this is it. He said, the blood is gross to the world. It broke my heart. It pained me to hear that kind of foolishness coming out of Him, my friend. And I chewed on that, and I thought on that, and finally I said, you know what? You're right. The blood is gross to the world. But it's gross to the world, but it's precious to the church. I said, do you want to have a world gathering or do you want to have a church gathering? It might be gross to the world, and I promise you, if you'd have been there at Calvary on that dark day, it was not a pretty picture. It was not anything for the weak of stomach or the weak at heart. But can I tell you what was going on in that hour and what was going on that hill, brother, was the most beautiful thing that you could ever imagine. When this assembly finally assembled with the rest of the assembly and we've all gathered around that throne, Revelation said we'll gather around with a loud voice of many nations and many tongues and crying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood. I'm glad He dipped me in that blood, brother, the moment He saved me. He dipped me in that blood. I took a little church. I was 21 and started pastoring a little swamp church down in Florida, 15 minutes from the state pen. I was so excited that somebody wanted me to preach to them all the time. I was just amazed and thrilled to be there. I hopped up in the pulpit the first Sunday I ever preached there and just reared back and thought there was 9,000 there and felt like I was getting saved all over again. Four adults walked down the aisle weeping, got born again. I was so fired up, son. Listen, I run out in my little town and I knocked on all the doors. 300 of them, didn't take long. I knocked on all them doors. Right behind the church is a big old Florida house with a 9-foot before you ever get to the house for the flood. An old woman named Davis, Sister Davis. I said, I'm a new preacher in town. I want to find out who's saved and who ain't. With a twinkle in her eye, and she offered me a seat on the front porch. I found out, you know, and they tell us a lot of ways to approach people. I finally just learned to ask him about, tell me what you think about Jesus. That does away with churches. That does away with grandma. That does away with what Bible you got or what preacher you listen to. Tell me what you think about Jesus. They'll either shut the door or open the door, I'll promise you. They'll either break out with a Holy Ghost countenance or they'll shrivel up on you like you need to be in a straitjacket. Her eyes twinkled and she smiled and come out on the front porch and she said, sit down, young preacher. She said, let me tell you something might bless your heart. She said, I ran for city council here a few years ago. Our little town didn't have but 300 people in it. And they were some crooked fellows. They were some corrupt officials. It got so bad, she said, that I don't believe, she said, I don't think it was a woman's place, but nobody else would do anything. And she said, I went down there to run for office, try to get that rascal out of there. She said that evil bunch sent down over to Jacksonville and they hired him a witch doctor. Great old big gal come out with a leather bag in one hand and a little basket full of chickens in the other. She said they brought her in to cast a spell on me, one of them voodoo doctors. You go ahead and laugh, but I don't want nobody sticking no pins in a doll that looks like me. Amen. Put the West Nile on me or something. Get me a little nervous. I don't like the devil, but I don't really want to tangle with him, if you don't mind. You go ahead and squirt over hell a rotten corn stalk, squirt him in the eye. I hope he stays on the other side of the planet. I don't want nothing to do with the rascal. She said they come down there and set that bag down, set them chickens down, and said they're hired and paid her good. Said they cast a spell on me. They said make her sick, make her dead, make her disappear, just do anything, get rid of her. Sister Davis looked at me and chuckled in that rocking chair. She said 3 days and three nights. And of course, that sounded good to me right there. That good resurrection language, you know. She said, for 3 days and three nights, she sat down there and shook her little beads and kept, she said she kept killing chickens till she didn't have no more chicken. Said she shook chicken blood all over the place. And she said, finally, after 3 days and three nights, she packed her little stuff up and headed out and said, them a bunch of rascals got angry with her and said, you hadn't done your job. And she said, that woman turned around and looked at them and said, boys, said that Miss Davis woman is covered with the blood of Christ and my chicken blood just won't do nothing with her. And I tell you something, I'm glad I'm covered with the blood of Christ tonight. Thank God. I'm glad I've got a hedge about me. I've got a hovering about me. I've got a holiness about me because I've been dipped in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. I've been covered by the blood. I'm under the blood tonight. I got to travel over there into Albania and Romania. Over there in the scene, that Mediterranean climate. Got down there in Albania and all they had was olive groves and sheep. I got to talking to them shepherds. And boy, howdy, did I come back. I preached for 2.5 years on sheep and shepherds at Lawdy. Amen. They were ready for me to go back and make another trip. They tired of hearing it, but I was excited about it. I'll tell you one thing. They got them little sheep coves, the little sheep fold. And it would be a little rocky. I walked in one, didn't know what it was. It was rocks, and they had bramble briar bushes and thorns and a hedge all about that. But there wasn't any gates. There wasn't any doors. I said, how in the world do you keep the sheep in? Once you get them in, they said, oh, the shepherd serves as the door. Said, he'll lay down in this opening. And said, nobody comes in or nobody goes out except they go through the shepherd. They told me they had a problem that they finally solved whenever they had a little orphan lamb. Whenever they'd have a little orphan lamb, usually they'd lose it because they didn't have a lot of technology and medicine. And none of the other mother sheep would mother the little lamb, wouldn't mother it and wouldn't nurse it, and it would die. He said, but one of our men finally solved it. Said any time we'd have a little orphan lamb, said we'd take a mother sheep who had her own little lamb. And we'd take the orphan lamb and the little lamb with the mama and the mama, and we'd separate them out from the flock. Said they'd take that little lamb who had a living mother and make a surgical cut in it and bleed a little basin of blood. Stitch it back up. Said then they'd take that blood of that little lamb who had a living mama and they'd cover that little orphan lamb with that blood. Said they'd wipe it down and rub it in the fleece and just cover it real good. And then take that little orphan lamb and present it to that mother. Yeah. And she'd sniff it. And all she smelt was the scent of her own blood. All she smelled was the blood of her little one. And she automatically thought it was one of hers. And she adopted it on the spot. Brought it under herself and gave it that milk and gave it that mothering, and the little orphan survived because of a blood covering. And I tell you, one day, brother, and every one of us was stinking in the nostrils of a thrice holy God. Brother, when we should have been in hell and wasn't fit to be nowhere but hell, He took His only begotten Son and separated Him out. Brother made a cut on Him, crucified Him on Calvary's cross. And that day a little 9-year-old boy come running to the Lord. I'll tell you what he done. He took a sinful, stinking, abominable little feller like me and just dipped me in that blood, covered me in that blood, poured that blood over me, presented me unto God. And now when he sees me, he sees the blood. And when he smells me, he smells the blood. We're a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord tonight. We're a sweet... You'd be amazed how precious this service is to God tonight. I promise you one thing. He's a-bottling these tears. And that'll be your perfume in that good getting-up day. He's a-capturing every sigh of a sorrowful heart. Brother, he's encapsulating the sorrows of all his little children. He caught all them prayers a while ago. Them prayers that was coming out of such a deep, wounded place in your heart, you couldn't even pray them. You better believe he got a hold of them first. Amen. Brother, I promise you, brother, on that, brother, this is a sweet-smelling service to God. But wouldn't none of us be here? Wouldn't even be worthy to be here if it wasn't for that initial cleansing. I'm under the blood. Let me say this to you. I'm under a robe tonight. I'm under a righteous robe. I've been wrapped up in the robe of Christ's imputed holiness. Somebody give me one of these blankets. Can I borrow this in here? Here's one. If anything happens to it, Brother Dagenhart will pay for it. He's a big preacher. He's well off. He'll have it dry cleaned. And I done rode over here with him. Everything's all right. Can I tell you something tonight? Brother, come here, Brother Kyle. You're a visitor, but you'll be all right. When I came to him, let me borrow your jacket, but well, no, you're sick. All right, you're all right. Just for a second. Brother Kyle, face that wall right there. Turn around. When I came to the Lord that night, I was covered in the blackness of my sin. I was covered in that black sin. God, who's not limited to time, He inhabits eternity. Time's like a little bubble before Him. He'd step in and out wherever He wants to. He knows the end from the beginning because He done been down to the end. When He was at the beginning, He stepped on down to the end and fixed that just right. So, you know, and He can come in there anywhere He wants to. When a little 9-year-old boy came and fell on that altar, in that blackness of sin, God, who lives in eternity, stepped down there into my little life in that moment of time. When I cried for mercy, He took all that was bad about me. As a matter of fact, He put one divine hand at the beginning of my earthly existence. He put His other divine God hand at the end of my earthly existence. And everything in between. Whoop, glory. Everything that was against God. Everything that was contrary to the holiness of a loving God. Every little attitude, every little thought, every little minute molecule of corruption down in my spirit that would have ever got me in trouble with a thrice holy God. Every bit of indwelling corruption and outgoing transgression. Every bit of it. He just scooped it all up. Froze time for me. He said, wait right there. That's what He said. Stepped back into eternity and strolled down 2,000 years early to where His Son hung on Calvary's cross. He put my load of sin on His Son in that hour. How heavy was that load that day? How heavy was that load that day? Well, let me ask you a question. How heavy can one sin be? Some of you remember the little lie you told your mama when you were 7. How heavy can one sin be? Why don't you ask the child molester who, because of 100 indwelling demons, did something to his daughter or granddaughter that he even shocked his own conscience? Go ask him tonight in a federal prison. when he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning with nightmares, can't believe what he done to his own blood. Ask him how heavy one sin can be. Go ask that little girl how heavy one sin can be. Well, he took all of mine. The weight of them was on his shoulders. He didn't start with me. Brother, he got all of yours. He got all of yours. Oh, he got everybody in the building. He got everybody in the county. He took the sin of the world and put them on the back of the Son of God. The lights went out and he headed out into a land not inhabited. There goes our scapegoat. I'm not sure what he'd done with him, but when he come back, he looked towards heaven and said, "It is finished." He took my sin and done away with it. He took everything about Christ that was good. There wasn't nothing but good. He took all of His righteousness, all of His holiness, all about Him that was good. Step back out of eternity, into eternity, come back down into where I was. He done took my sins off me and He covered me in that holiness, in that righteousness. And that day when I turned around and looked at the church, they knew my past, but God had done told me He wasn't going to remember it no more. They knew my faults, but God done moved down inside my rib cage and said, "We're going to work on these. Don't worry about it." I was covered with the righteousness of Christ. I'm under a righteous robe tonight. Number three, I'm under the covenant of grace. Don't let that scare you. It just means this. That when He wrapped that thing around me, He patted me on the back and made me a promise. I give this to you free. And ain't nothing in this world or the next that'll ever take it off of you. He said there ain't no devil in hell strong enough to rip this off. He said the storm will never blow so hard that the wind will rip this off. He said there ain't a storm in your future that'll ever remove this covering, son. He said, when them skeletons come out of your closet and do a little dance in your nightmares, He said, they may bother you for a little spell and a season, but there ain't a skeleton in your closet that can ever rip this off of you. He said, son, there ain't a future in your failure. There ain't a failure, excuse me. There ain't a failure in your future. I need to say that one. There's not a failure in your future, child of God. That'll ever upset God so bad He just yanks this off of. No, He done been down in your future. He's seen how sorry you'd be after you got saved, as well as He's seen how sorry you was before you got saved. It was mercy that loved you before you got saved. It's mercy that loves you after you get saved. It was grace that landed on you when you got saved. It'll be grace that'll carry you through till the day you finally get home. He said, there ain't nothing in this world or the next that'll ever allow me to remove this. Oh, and something happened while He's putting it on. Number four, I'm under the influence of the indwelling Holy Ghost. He didn't put it on me like they do down there at the tailor's, you know. No, He got in there with me. He said, "Let's just." He said, "Let's just get this thing." So, I mean, you both too big for this thing. I should have got a bigger quilt, a quilt for Baptist preachers, amen. We ain't no Lutherans up here, these are Baptists up here. Holy Ghost stepped down inside of my rib cage. Got down in there, wrapped up in that thing. Zipped it in from the inside, just zipped it straight up. Turned around there and looked at me and said, "I'm here. I won't never leave you. I'm going to take over from here. I know what lies ahead. I've been down there already. We're going to get you through." We'll open this. We'll open this when you get home. And when you step out of this, it's going to be like a caterpillar stepping out of a cocoon. You're going to look different when I let you finally get you home. And He's in there. He told my old sin nature, "Mean you're going to have a time. He told the accusation of my heart. He said, "Now you just be quiet. I've done dealt with all this. You quit lying." I mean, he moved down in there. He loves God so much, and he's so bigger than I am. He moved in. My old flesh still loves the old things of Egypt, but this indwelling Holy Ghost, he loves God. He done changed my heart and changed my spirit. I'm under the influence of the indwelling Holy Ghost. Thank you, Brother Kyle. You look cute in that green and pink's your color, I think. Thank you, Brother Kyle. I want to say this finally. Sister, you see Brother Dagenhart if anything's wrong with that. I want to say this in closing. But don't miss this one. Under grace. I'm under grace because I'm under the blood. I'm under grace because I'm under that imputed righteousness. That blood cleansed me on the inside and that righteousness covered me on the outside. I mean, I'm a done deal. Some of you, when you get to heaven and see how saved you was, you'd have wondered why you didn't shout all the way to heaven. I'm under the promises of God. I'm under the indwelling influence of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say this, since He brought me in His family, I'm under the rainbow of Calvary. What I mean by this is there's a bright sun shining in my life now. S-O-N. There's a bright sun shining in my life. But storm clouds do gather. They do come. Sometimes they come right between me and the bright sun that's shining over my life. But when they do, that light's so bright it'll cut through any cloud. You know what happens when you get a light, a ray of sunlight, and a dark thundercloud? You get a rainbow. And I tell you, a lot of dark clouds have moved in since the day I got up off that altar. But my sun has never quit shining. There have been times I couldn't see Him shining, but if you'll wait around a little bit, one of them little rays will come through. And there'll be a rainbow right over your worst storm. And I tell some of you tonight, under grace, there's a rainbow in every storm. It's a promise that there's light on the other side. It's a promise that He's on the other side. It's a promise that He's on the top side of your storm. I never rode airplanes much. I didn't ride an airplane until I was 20 years old. Got on one and flew from Jacksonville, Florida to Louisville, Kentucky. Thought I was Neil Armstrong. I thought I was flying the plane. I loved it, though. It'd move a little bit and I'd say the 23rd Psalm. I knew I saved. I knew I was a preacher, but I wanted to make sure. When I even said a little old prayers I ain't going to tell you about. Now, Lord, you know, just in case. Oh, yeah, there's that unconfessed sin from age 14. That's right. I want to talk to you about that real quick if you don't mind. We drove through, flew through a storm, broke out on the other side, and I looked down and seen that rainbow. There's one shining off the top. That moisture glowing underneath. He's on the top side of it. When you're under grace, you're under His surveillance. When you're under grace, you're under His watchful eye and His watchful hand. And that storm won't come unless He knows you need some strong winds to blow off some dead branches. That storm won't come unless He knows the only cure for your dry soul is going to be the moisture this storm brings. Under the rainbow of the grace of God. I can't explain a lot of giants. I don't know why them are your giants and why they're still with you. But I tell you this, He said, "My grace is sufficient."